Football Friday.
Lindsay in the backfield, off to the races he goes. And intercepted by Williams. McManus is 5 of 5. This would be his longest today. And it is good.
Didn't seem to get anything put together. It was on the Fresno.
It was cool to kind of put the Darth Vader mask on.
Here's Brady Hall.
5 minutes after the hour, it is a special edition of Football Friday. I don't know why Vic Fangio and Drew Locke are so content on comparing this weekend to Star Wars. But I like it. I like it. Although Drew Locke is Darth Vader in this. Andy Reid is Darth Vader. He's got the visor mask over and...
Luke, help me take this mask off.
But you'll die.
Nothing can stop that now.
Is that not... Okay, so Patrick Mahomes would be Luke. Andy Reid is Darth Vader in that. I can totally see that. To help me take this mask off, Patrick. It's too much fog. I can't see. It's blurry. Not able to focus. Apparently, that's Darth Vader. Drew Locke is Darth Vader. I like Vic Fangio's comparison, though, Colfax, because it is like that, isn't it? When you look at the Chiefs' offense, he said it's very Star Wars-y. Because it's all these crazy things happening. Patrick Mahomes is out there, and he throws a little 5-yard dart. Yeah, you got Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest guys in the NFL. You can't stop him. And then, of course, there's the stud, Travis Kelce, with 37 receptions, 470 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He is a monster. Yeah, the list goes on and on. Oh, and as if that's not enough, you got a rookie running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running all over the place. I don't know how, if you're the Broncos defense, you keep track of it. It feels like there's little spaceships just flying everywhere out there. Oh, and now, as if that wasn't enough, Le'Veon Bell. Well, he might have to, like, you know, smack the, what is it, the lightsaber? Got to hit that a little bit, because he's been in a bad organization for a little bit. He hasn't really performed, but at some point, he's going to get that lightsaber to go from green to red. And Star Wars plays out this weekend. So now it all kind of makes sense, because I honestly, Colfax, I kind of forgot that Vic Fangio compared the Chiefs to their offense to Star Wars. I love that, though. Like, oh, there's a Star Wars stuff happening out there. I don't even know exactly what that means. But it actually kind of works, doesn't it? Like, when I picture the Chiefs offense, I just see Patrick Mahomes go, phew, 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 and spinning around, throwing the ball with his left hand, doing all these crazy things. And then you got so much speed on that offensive side. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he is ridiculously good. He's a rookie, and right now he's the second leading rusher in the NFL behind King Henry. I mean, that's crazy, right? And then they bring in more help with Le'Veon Bell. See, this one feels like the opposite of what the Broncos did. And they're bringing in a known, you know, a guy that's been pretty good in the league and has certainly had some huge games, huge seasons, Le'Veon Bell. But this is different than that, I think. Because you're in the middle of the season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is rocking. You're bringing Bell on later. You're going to ease him in. To me, it just adds more. It adds more to it. Now you see the Seahawks trying to get desperate. I don't know if this Antonio Brown thing is a good idea at all, trying to possibly bringing him in. How do you trust that guy? I mean, I'm all about second chances, but I feel like he's had like 3. So I feel like the Seahawks are looking at the Chiefs saying, just keep loading it up. Keep bringing in playmakers. That's what we can do. It's going to be a tough game. You know, when you look at it, I love the fact that Drew Locke's, you know, it's his home area, and he's excited to come back. And he says, I have no problem being the Darth Vader to their Jedi. It's such a weird, not many people go about it that way, right? Like, I am Darth Vader. Darth Vader lost, okay? He lost, Colfax. He lost a lot. So, I mean, I know he's probably the most... Is he the most popular Star Wars character? Is it Darth Vader? Or is it Yoda? Is it Luke Skywalker? It's got to be Darth, right? I mean, everybody knows Darth Vader. So, I mean, I guess he's got that going for him. But it's a little scary comparison. I hope it doesn't end the way that all of those did. First Advantage text line, 31996-31996. Were you a big Star Wars guy?
Not really. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up liking it, so the ones in the 70s and 80s were just corny to me. Story's kind of good, though.
Yeah.
But then the more recent ones, I thought those were pretty good.
Yeah, I don't necessarily follow the newest new ones, like mm-hmm. in the past 5 or 6
well,
years,
I mean,
whatever they've been doing.
I watched them. I don't know if I follow them. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, Luke Skywalker's, like, drinking milk from some alien things, you know what? And I'm like, what is happening here? That was weird. Stuff got weird, yeah. Colfax, real fast. But fun comparison. Do the Broncos have any shot?
Oh, yeah.
They're 9.5. Last time I checked, they were 9.5-point dogs in this one. Yeah, ESPN has it at 9.5. Over under is 46. Well, I mean, when you look at it, let's just go to the stats, Colfax. Here's what the Chiefs are. Here's who they are. They're the third best team in total yards. Now, again, this is always weird time to look at stats because some teams, especially now because of COVID, games are up and, you know, it took the Broncos 2 weeks to play the Patriots. So stats, you kind of take them with a grain of salt, but with these numbers with the Chiefs, they make sense. Number 3 in total yards. They average 417 yards per game. They're number 7 in passing. They're number 4 in rushing. I mean, this offensive line pushes people around, and that rookie can run very well. I love watching him. Can't believe he was picked number 32. Andy Reid never takes a running back in the first round. Well, the one time he does, I mean, Edwards-Helaire has 107 carries for 505 yards. I mean, those are huge numbers, Colfax. In 6 games for a rookie, you're at 500 yards. He's going to crack that 1,000-yard mark as long as he stays healthy. They're number 9 in points. They average 29.2 points per game. Scary times if you're the Broncos, because the Chiefs team that averages 29 points per game should scare you. To the Broncos, the idea was to get much better in that regard. This year, they average about 20 points per game. They wanted to move up from that 17-18. Well, I guess they are, but they're only better than 3 teams in the NFL as far as putting points on the board, Colfax. And you saw it last week, even in a win. You kick field goals, you're going to be at the bottom of the barrel if you can't score touchdowns. Washington is scoring 18 points per game. The Giants are at 17.5. The Jets are scoring 12.5 points per game, man. What? I wonder what the record is for, like, the lowest average. So here's the deal. The Chiefs' offense is very, very good. Their defense has gotten so much better. They're much better against the pass this year. They're number 3 right now in yards per game allowed. However, they do give up the run. Now, is that because teams are down and they start passing against them? What have you? There's a lot of scenarios. I have not watched the tape of every single Chiefs game this year. They are 30th against the run. But it's like I said about the Seahawks. And Dixon, you'll appreciate this. They are one of the worst teams in a category. That does not mean their defense is atrocious, because they make up for it with their pass defense. They make up for it in points allowed. 9th, top 10. So this defense is much improved. I still don't feel like we've seen the best of the Chiefs yet, which is scary. I hope that does not click on Sunday. As for the Broncos, their numbers, their stats, their rankings, it makes sense. And I want to get to that a little bit later on, but I mean, I want to dive into this more. But they're 29th in total yards. They're 27th in passing. They're 25th in rushing, which makes no sense to me. I mean, it does, but that should change if you can keep these guys healthy. And 29th in points. There's a lot of work to do. Maybe we see an explosion from this offense, but I would not hold my breath. 15 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk to Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network coming up here in just a moment. We'll take a short break. You're listening to the whole show. It is a Football Friday. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty minutes after the hour, thanks for being with us here on the program. It's The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, Broncos insider Cody Rourke, content director at Pro Football Network. Cody, my friend, love getting together with you, man. And I have been, since we've been talking to you the last couple of weeks, I've been really diving into your film study, man. Amazing work. I love it.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Always fun to be on with you guys here on Fridays, every Friday. You know, I just take a look at things. My goal, you know, as a football analyst, I just want to make football fans smarter. I want to help them understand the games, the concepts, because you can never really get a true evaluation when you watch the broadcast. A lot of people just jump to conclusions, say, oh, it was this guy's fault, but the tape doesn't lie. And I think people, if you can create football fans that understand the game of football, that watch the tape, watch the breakdowns, you make smarter football fans, and I think it makes the experience overall more enjoyable.
There's no question about it. One of my favorite things to watch is the matchups a lot in the defensive backfield. A lot of times watching, you know, cornerback safeties and what they're doing, and a lot of times, like you said, fans can watch a game and see a receiver get wide open downfield and just assume that a corner got beat or assume that a safety fell asleep. But what you do is you have these different angles, and you show us what the zones called for, what defense they were in, and so it's not as obvious sometimes as it looks like on the regular broadcast, and you're bringing us those different angles too. And I think that's you can bring those one-on-one angles too. Like you really broke down Michael OJ Mudiah, and I really thought that was it was impressive and it was fun.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And I tell you what, just watching film on this Broncos defense, I did a focus on Michael OJ Mudiah, but to me, when I do those one-on-one film breakdowns, I can't help but find myself shifting to everybody else, you know, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons. What is the defensive line doing? What are the inside linebackers doing? It's like a math equation that makes sense, right? And if math was translated in a football film, I would have done a better job in school with math. But, outside of that, I think just, you know, understanding the nuances of the game, being able to play it for so long and coach it and analyze it. You know, for me, that's the experience I try to bring to fans because, you know, I think at the end of the day, we live in a world of hot takes and clickbait, and the reality is football is football, and you could try to spin it any way, but the film doesn't lie. And if you know what you're watching on film, you can go to work on a Monday after a Sunday game, and you could be the smartest person in that office when you have debates with people in the office. That's what I want to do for football fans, so appreciate you tuning in.
Yeah, I love it, man. Cody, so talk to us about this defense. I honestly, I'll be real honest, at the beginning of the season, I'm looking at the secondary, and I'm a little worried. You know, you move on from Chris Harris Jr., you bring in Boye, you get a rookie in that third round, and you're really expecting a lot from him right off the bat. Bryce Callahan's coming off the injury. At least for the last couple of weeks, and even in losses, this defense is not too bad. Maybe they're overachieving, I don't know, but with all those injuries, I did not think we'd be at this point where we're saying, hey, defensively, they're kind of a strength right now, and I know it's going to be a test against Kansas City, but what has gone right for Vic Fangio in this defense? Is it all just clicking with his mastermind and putting the pieces together?
You know, I don't even think this defense is clicking on all cylinders just yet, and the thought of that is kind of scary. When you look at the top three, when you look at the top five overall NFL defense in terms of total points allowed this season, the Broncos, they've only allowed 94 total points this season. Above them is Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, teams that they have played. And when I go back to that Pittsburgh Steelers game where Denver played in, really they held Juju Smith-Schuster in check. And then when you take a look at Chase Claypool, I mean, if he doesn't make that one catch where you can legitimately make the case that he pushed off on Michael Ojemudia, that they may not win that game. The Broncos may have snuck one out against them. That's the thing I look at. But one thing we've seen week in and week out with this defense, they have grown, they've adapted. And the last 2 weeks that we've seen them play football, they've blitzed a lot more. Now, I don't think that we're going to see that same formula against Kansas City, because what happens is Patrick Mahomes, he loves the blitz. He identifies where it's coming from, and he throws it to the guy where there's nobody in an angle to a place in coverage quickly. I think we're going to see the Broncos get really tricky. I think we're going to see at times Bradley Chubb's going to show a look as if he's going to be blitzing. He's going to drop back into pass coverage. The Broncos are going to send one of the slot nickel corners on a blitz there. They're going to get creative. They're going to drop guys back, but I also think they're going to try to really rely on their 3-4 man rush overall, because if you blitz Patrick Mahomes, he's one of the best in the NFL in terms of overall quarterback rating and completion success. And that right there is kind of scary. But they will be without Sammy Watkins. They will be without Mitchell Schwartz on the offensive side of the ball. Broncos are going to have to find a way to take advantage of that.
Yeah, no question about it. And how about this one, Le'Veon Bell? Are we going to see him Sunday? And realistically, if we do see him, how much will we really see him?
Yeah, he'll make his debut against Denver this Sunday, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be the running back one. Le'Veon Bell will come in certain situations, and he'll get mixed in a little bit, but you know, he was signed to be the running back too. They really trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the ability he gives them out of the backfield as a receiver. Not to mention too, Le'Veon Bell, he's battled a hamstring injury all season long. He was on IR before he got released by the New York Jets. So for him, I think there's going to be a rust component. There's going to be a rust factor. Now he's learning a new offensive system. And ironically, maybe after this week, he might have a big game against his former team, the New York Jets. So I think for the Denver game, we're going to see him, but I don't think he's going to be as impactful or as involved in the game plan this week.
Cody, do you ever look at the Chiefs? I mean, obviously Super Bowl champs, it's an explosive offense, and they just get better. They bring in this rookie running back who is one of the tops in the NFL right now. He's fun to watch. He's taken hold quickly. And you just look at that and say, wow, the rich just keep getting richer.
They really do, and the fact that they had at one point this offseason only $116 worth of salary cap left over, I've really tried to figure out how are they able to come up with deals for some of these guys. And obviously, we're not going to see the cap ramifications for Patrick Mahomes' deal for at least another 2 seasons. So they have an opportunity to kind of try to build that dynasty, cement it a little bit, and then they might lose some guys. But, you know, overall, you know, the offense for Kansas City, in my opinion, this year is better than it was last year, and that's scary. Patrick Mahomes is a lot better this year than he was last year. The fact that they're able to play Buffalo and they didn't have to rely really on throwing the ball as much or as deep. They didn't. The passing yards were not there in terms of overall what Patrick Mahomes does. They ran the ball efficiently for over 200 yards, and then when they did pass, Patrick Mahomes was super efficient. I believe he was 21 of 26 total. He had 2 touchdown throws to Travis Kelce alone. He's very efficient, and if you can't get pressure on him and you can't expect your cover guys to cover for more than 5 or 6 seconds, going to be a tough game for Denver, so I'm really intrigued to see how they match up. But yeah, coming into this matchup, I was looking at the weekly release packet. You look at the Chiefs offense, the green bold highlight means that they're top 10 in the NFL, and you look at the bottom, like if you look at the bottom rank, they're bold red highlighted. And you look at Denver's offense, they are bold red highlighted almost every major statistical category on offense. And you look at Kansas City, they're bold green in every statistical category as well. That is always concerning. So on paper, it doesn't seem like this might be a close game, but I tell you what, this Broncos team is different. I think Denver defensively is better this year than they were last year.
Cody, did you expect that with this defense? Did you expect them to be at this stage? Because, like you said, the offense is struggling, but when you look at the categories for the defense, I mean, to me anyway, they're much better at this point in the season than I figured they'd be.
Yeah, you know, I think coming in from last year, I looked at their secondary. They were a top 10 passing secondary altogether, which is great. They're close in that regard there. I believe they're 11th in the NFL right now. And then they're really good against the run this year. And I think the difference is there's just a different energy on the secondary level. Yeah, you lose Chris Harris Jr., but Michael Ojemudia is holding his own. Bryce Callahan is excelling in that slot nickel role where he's destined to play. And if A.J. Boye can come back, which is looking like he's going to play on Sunday, this is a Broncos team that has so many different coverage dynamics. And they got the pressure guys, too, to be able to cause havoc on quarterbacks. Maybe not necessarily Patrick Mahomes, but other quarterbacks that are less mobile and not as smart or not as good as Patrick is. They're going to find ways to get pressure on quarterbacks. And so they've ramped up pressure. They've ramped up takeaways in the last couple of weeks. It's trending in the right direction for Denver.
When you look at the one loss the Chiefs have had so far, losing to the Raiders, what can the Broncos learn from that game? Or is it one of those where you just say, well, you know, the Chiefs are bound to have a game or two where they're not firing on all cylinders, and that's probably where you'll get them. It's not going to happen often. But what can we take from the Raiders' win over the Chiefs?
Well, you know, one thing the Chiefs, tried to do, they focused their game plan defensively on really stopping Josh Jacobs, really trying to limit his plays because they were just going to run with Jacobs because that was their strength of their team. And then they got their eyes caught in the backfield. You saw them capitalize. You saw the Raiders capitalize on deep shots of Henry Ruggs and Waller, and they were able to capitalize on that. I think the Broncos need to come into this game with the mindset we're going to run the football down your throat because this is going to be Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. The dynamic together, that's going to be a special thing. I think if the Broncos can get it going, that's great. Noah Fant's going to be back. And then Albert Okwuegbunam is more than likely going to be active with the injuries now to Jake Butt and Andrew Beck. So we can see them in 12 personnel together. That's one running back and two tight ends and two wide receivers. And I like that with Jerry Jeudy and a guy like Tim Patrick. Not to mention, KJ Hamler, he's also expected to maybe make his return on Sunday as well. So the Broncos offensively, they have the weapons, but I think they can't get into the habit of just trying to throw the football all over the field. They have to be smart with the opportunities that they take when they do. If you're going to go downfield, try to catch the defense sleeping, because if you try to throw the ball and you don't complete, it stops the clock. And then guess what? Patrick Mahomes gets more time on the field. You don't want that to happen. So if I was Denver, I'd control the time of possession. I'd really try to get the run game going and then capitalize with smart passing and then take an eventual shot, but not nine in a row.
That'll be the interesting thing. And Cody, especially, we haven't really got to see the Gordon-Lindsay dynamic. I mean, we got to see it, in the first half of that Titans game, but it hasn't worked out since because they've been off the field at various times. So hopefully we get to see that to full effect, and the Broncos really can capitalize with those two guys back there.
Yeah, and that's the hope. You're going to see them both on the field at the same time, running back 1A, 1B. Really intrigued to see how Pat Shurmur gets these guys, you know, who lines up in the backfield, who lines up as an offset fullback, who lines up in the slot, who lines up on the outside. We're going to see a lot of that from Shurmur on Sunday. I think it's great because you want to try to get your offense going. What better time to do it than against Kansas City?
Cody Rourke joining us, Broncos insider and content director at Pro Football Network. All right, what does the film show? I loved it. You broke down Michael O.J. Mutia. I am pleasantly surprised by this guy. Man, so far so good. It seems like the Broncos might have a superstar corner in the making. What does the film from last week show you about this guy?
Well, he's just instinctual. You know, one of the things he does, too, and if you're listening to this radio show right now and you're, hey, how can I see this film? Go to YouTube, type in Cody Rourke NFL, and check it out. It's on Michael O.J. Mutia against New England. But he never shows the same stance twice. There's times he'll be in press look. There's times that he'll be off 5 yards. There's times he'll be in a side shuffle technique. He's always moving around, just changing his depth as a DB, because cornerbacks, they're always trying to be read by the quarterback as to, are they outside leverage? Are they inside leverage? Are they 5 yards off? Are they 10 yards off? You know, they're really trying to read that alongside the safeties. And in the Broncos show, a lot of times a too high safety look, they'll run cover four, they'll run cover three, cover two. But a lot of times lately in the last couple of weeks, we've been seeing the Denver Broncos run a lot of cover one robber out of too high safety look. So one of the guys going to creep down, whether it's Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, lurk in the middle. And then sometimes they'll both take deep drops back to the deep halves there. So Denver's really good at disguising their coverages. And Michael Ojemudia is just one of those guys. He wasn't really donned as a man cover corner in college. He's more of a zone guy, which is why he's a perfect fit in Vic's defense. But now he's growing to learn man coverage. There's times where I feel like he's got this deceptive makeup speed to him that sometimes you worry about him getting burnt deep against a faster guy and also against a quarterback that knows how to throw the ball a lot well. You know, so for him, he's made some adjustments. There's still some things in his game he absolutely has to polish up. But really, like you said, he is headed in the right direction. The Broncos got a good one. Good enough to where Vic Fangio gave up his parking spot this week at UCLA Training Center for him to be able to park in his spot. So, the Broncos love the kid, and look, he's exciting. I'm a DB guy. I played cornerback. I love the game. I love the position. It's so demanding. And just to be able to see him excelling, I think the Broncos, they have a good one for the future. I mean, they should be very excited about this young man.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, Cody Rourke, NFL.com. I absolutely love it, man. I make it a point to check it out each and every week, and I constantly suggest it to our listeners, too. Cody, what matchups do you like? You said okay, we got to run the ball. We got to find a way to control that clock. But any specific matchups that stick out to you that say, okay, maybe the Broncos, both offensively but defensively, can take advantage to do the unthinkable, maybe pull off an upset this weekend?
Yeah, if I was Denver, I'd be trying to take advantage of Anthony Hitchens at the inside backer position. I'd really try to see how Albert Okwuegbunam and Noah Fant can work together, especially on crossing patterns, RPO stuff. I imagine we're going to see Denver getting a bag of tricks this week. But really work against him in coverage. He's not the strongest part of their defense. I feel like he's the weakest. They have to exploit it. And then they got to try to take advantage of some of the cornerbacks. They're young at the cornerback position outside of Shad Breeland. They got to be able to try to catch them sleeping and then take a shot. Tyrann Mathieu, I think, in this game, what we saw last year from Kansas City, he liked to blitz a lot. He liked to play up in the nickel, and he liked to blitz off the edge, and I think they're going to try to do that. Juan Thornhill as well, he's been trying to transition back from ACL. He's had an up-and-down season so far. He's getting back in the groove, but maybe the Broncos can find a matchup in terms of the size of Tim Patrick where they could try to get him against a guy like Thornhill or Bashad Breeland or even the rookie number, I believe it's number 38, if I'm not mistaken. Traverius Ward is also another one they could probably take advantage of there. But I would look for that. And then defensively, if I'm Denver, it's going to be your front seven. Can the defensive line maintain their gap discipline? And can they be, you know, are they able to not get too far upfield where Mahomes could dip underneath and just throw it or run it, as we've seen him do with so many other teams? It's going to really ride on them. And I think with Mitchell Schwartz being out at right tackle, the Broncos have an opportunity for Bradley Chubb to really have a big game this week.
Cody Rourke, NFL analyst, Broncos insider, and content director at Pro Football Network. Cody, what are you working on for us that we could check out in the next couple of days?
Well, we're going to have some film review of the Broncos-Chiefs game, more than likely on Monday or Tuesday on the YouTube channel, Cody Rourke NFL. Make sure you subscribe on there. If you want to go back and dig deeper, too, we have player film reviews that we did from 2019 projecting how they're going to do this season. We take a look at week one, we take a look at week two, and we also got a lot of action about the New York Jets game as well. So the film room is live, it's fresh, and it's got content you need. And Lockdown Broncos every single day, Monday through Friday, on your favorite podcast provider. Make sure you are locked into what's going on with the Denver Broncos for the best news, analysis, and objective coverage in the Colorado media.
I love it, my friend. Appreciate your time as always. And yeah, we'll see what those Broncos can do this weekend. It's going to be a battle, but who knows? Maybe an upset's brewing coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, Brady. Thank you so much for having me, man. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy college football alone. And the Broncos, guess what? It's kickoff on Sunday.
I love it, man. Cody Rourke, appreciate you, my friend. NFL analyst, Broncos insider, content director at Pro Football Network. I'm telling you, listen, I love sports. I like to talk about it. I do not break it down like this guy does. I mean, this guy is good. What I love about his videos that he provides, folks, is it's a lot different than what we get to watch on TV. You can record it and rewind and do that stuff all you want, but the angles that he's getting and then breaking down from that football background too, breaking down these position by position, it's fascinating stuff, and it does open up more, you know, about the strengths, about the weaknesses, things that the Broncos are really good at, things that they're struggling with. You get a more depth, inside look at what the Broncos are up to. 37 minutes after the hour. Colfax, when we come back, I'll look at my top three games outside of Broncos-Chiefs. This should be a fun weekend. We'll get to that, but first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Monday on Mornings with Gale, an update on fire activity in Northern Colorado and beyond, and a review of some of those pesky ballot measures. Join us 6 to 9, 1310 KFKA.
Two minutes after the hour, it is Football Friday here. Ready for it, man. Hopefully we get some snow this weekend. Desperately needed up there in the foothills and the mountains to help out with those fires. So hopefully we get some good news there. But a big, big weekend coming up on the college side. Of course, I went through the Mountain West games. Nebraska's playing for the first time. They'll be playing Ohio State, too. So that's an interesting one. Some big games, too, on the college side. But the NFL, kind of where I'm focused, because, again, college is all over the board. I don't know how they're going to figure this out. Everybody's going to bowl games. We got the playoffs set and all this, but it's going to be crazy. the games are fun to watch like by themselves, but it's hard to like, you know, with the NFL, you're watching week by week leading up to a common goal, right? Winning your division, getting into the playoffs. This season's been strange. When it comes, like, look at CSU. Now they have seven games. I mean, it's just like that. Game is gone, so it's just by winning percentage, which seems strange. So we're continuing on, pushing through. The NFL still rocking and rolling, even with some scares with COVID-19. The Raiders testing negative today. They had some scares, but that game still set to go. Colfax, here's my top three games as we get set for a busy, busy weekend. My top three NFL games outside of the Broncos-Chiefs. Number three. How about this one? Seahawks and Cardinals. Seattle, yeah. Hooligans, you're giving them a bad rep with the defense. They're 5-0, but don't look now. The Arizona Cardinals are sitting at 4-2. And Cardinals, it's not always pretty. The Cardinals are fun to watch. And Kyler Murray has been a lot of fun to watch. He's not perfect. He's going to make mistakes. You know, he's 10 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, but he's thrown for 1,500 yards. He's ran for nearly 400 yards, so he's a lot of fun to watch. This should be a very good game. The Seahawks are on the road in Arizona. The Seahawks are only favored by 3.5. It's a huge game. One of the only undefeated teams remaining, and they got to go to Arizona, a team that's feeling pretty good about themselves, at least at this point, sitting at 4-2. Number two, assuming this game happens, I like it because, well, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay. But it's an AFC West game. The Raiders sitting, well, it's AFC West team, I should say. The Raiders sitting at 3-2, 1-1 at home, playing host to Tampa Bay. At one time, we said, man, wouldn't that be a splash move for the Raiders to go get Tom Brady to come over to Vegas? But, yeah, Tampa Bay seems like they made the right call. The Bucs are 4-2. They've been okay. They've had some nice games defensively. I love this team. Tom Brady has actually kind of just been average. He has thrown 14 touchdowns already, but for the most part, he's kind of been average. Are we going to see him get a hold of this offense a little bit better as we progress through the season, or is this Tom Brady now? More of an average, maybe a little above average quarterback, but has an amazing defense. And, you know, kind of a full complement of offensive players like Ronald Jones II with almost 500 yards. The Raiders here, this is a prove-it game for them. 3-2. They've had some nice games. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Saints. But are they for real? Going to find out. This is a big one for the Raiders. Now, there's no line on this game yet. I think we're still all waiting to see when this is going to happen, what's going to happen there. But I would imagine Tampa Bay favored by 3.5. Guess we'll see when it comes out. The number one game on the docket for me. How about this one? The best defense in the NFL against the run versus the best running back in the NFL. Pittsburgh Steelers, Tennessee Titans. It's in Tennessee. The Titans are favored in this one by 1 point. The Steelers' defense is legit, though. The Titans overall, they're number 5 in yards per game, but we all know the best running back in the league, and that's Derrick Henry. Nearly 600 yards already and 6 touchdowns. He's, for the most part, unstoppable. Will the Steelers be able to slow him down? So I love those games. Those should be a lot of fun. Titans favored in that one by 1. I can't pick against the Titans, Colfax. It is now a whole show written rule. So I like the Titans to win there. I like the Bucs to easily handle the Raiders. And I do like the Seahawks to beat the Cardinals. I don't see it as a blowout. In fact, it's a very Seattle thing to do, to just kind of skate by and win that game. But they will become 6-0. So I like the Titans because I have to. I like the Bucs and I like the Seahawks there. Spread-wise, I'll take Seahawks to cover the spread. I don't know the spread for Bucs Raiders yet. And I think, sure, yeah, Titans favored by 1. So, okay, they'll cover that too. 47 minutes after the hour. My three keys to victory specifically for the Denver Broncos. We thought we'd broaden this a bit with Colorado State and New Mexico. Not the case. So we're still going full bore. Three keys to victory for the Denver Broncos, however difficult that might be.
Wow. Snowco now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. Snowco now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
I found the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off.
You play to win the game. You don't play it, just play it. Thank you for answering
the prayers. 53 minutes after the hour. Keys to the game. Broncos Chiefs this weekend, man. It's going to be a battle. They needed to win that Patriots game so desperately. Takes a little bit of the pressure off in this one because we say, hey, they got to win one of those two heading in to last weekend. So found a way to get that job done. It's going to be a battle. It's not, you know, completely out of the question, but here's what you got to do. On the offensive side of the ball, Denver has to find a way to convert third downs. That has been brutal for them all season long. And a lot of the reason you started to see some of that trouble happening, even in their losses, is because they just could not convert drives. Got to keep drives going. And that's where it's been a tough one for Denver. They got to find a way to convert third down. And to me, that starts with the rushing attack. You run the ball first down and make it easy on yourself if you're getting second and three. They got to find a way to do that. This offensive line has been much better, no question about it. But now we're going to see Lindsay and Gordon behind that offensive line. And Cody Rourke just told us moments ago that we're going to see both of those guys on the field at the same time. But that third down percentage is awful. 35.9% third down conversion rate. Fourth worst in the league. Got to be better there. The Gordon and Lindsay combo. We got to see it in the first half against Tennessee. It was pretty good. But then we haven't seen it since. You got to see it. I expect big things from these two guys coming up on Sunday. And the third set, it's not really a key to the game. It's more of just a perk. Help is on the way. You're getting guys back. KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon, AJ Boye. Those are guys, all guys we expect big things from, even KJ being a rookie. We expect big things from those guys. We've been without a good chunk of those guys for a decent portion of the season. Now they're coming back. Dalton Reisner is listed as questionable. Probably a game time decision. Should be okay, though, from what we're hearing from some of the Broncos outlets. We'll see. Coming up on Sunday, I like the Broncos to cover. I don't like them to win. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.